There is a moment in the life of Alfege of Canterbury where everything becomes very simple. He has been a prisoner for 5 months. He is nearly 60 years old. The Vikings who hold him are demanding 3,000 pounds of silver for his release. All he has to do is say yes, and he won't. Not because he is reckless, but because he knows exactly who would be made to pay. Alfege, his old English name was Alfia, was born around 953, likely in the west country of England. He became a Benedictine monk and eventually led a community at Bath, gaining a wide reputation for austere holiness. Around 984, King Athelred appointed him Bishop of Winchester, the spiritual heart of the English kingdom. At Winchester, Alfege continued the reforming work of his predecessors, Dunstan and Athelwold. The renewal of Benedictine monastic communities across England was unglamorous, patient labour, ordering common life, deepening prayer, building communities capable of holding together in a world fraying at the edges. This is kingdom work, less like a campaign, more like tending soil. In 1006, he became Archbishop of Canterbury. He travelled to Rome in person to receive the pallium from Pope John XVIII, a gesture of fidelity to the wider church that required real courage in those unstable years. Then came 1011. Danish forces, under Thorkel the Tall, besieged Canterbury. The city burned. Alfege could have fled. Many would have. And he did not. He stayed with his people through the siege, and when the city fell, he was taken captive. He spent the winter months as a prisoner, held for ransom. 3,000 pounds of silver. England, already bled dry by raids and taxation, had nothing left to give. Alfege refused to let that sum be extracted from the people in his care. He would not purchase his own freedom at the cost of theirs. On the 19th of April, 1012, at Greenwich, after Alfege refused once more, a drunken Viking assembly pelted him with bones and ox heads. A man named Thrum struck the final blow, an axe, reportedly at Alfege's own request to end his suffering. He was 59 years old. Years later, Lanfranc, the Norman Archbishop of Canterbury, questioned whether Alfege deserved to be called a martyr. He had not died refusing to deny the faith. He had died refusing to pay a ransom. It was Anselm of Canterbury who answered. Alfege died for justice. He died for love of his people. That is martyrdom, because the kingdom of God is concerned not only with what we confess with our lips, but with how we wield power over the lives of others. What Alfege did, in concrete and costly terms, was what the shepherd in John's Gospel describes. He laid down his life for the sheep. Not as image, as fact. In 1023, Canute, the Danish king now ruling England, and now a Christian, ordered Alfege's transmission of his remains from London to Canterbury Cathedral. A Danish king, publicly honouring the man his own people had killed. Repentance, in stone and ceremony. A sign that the manner of Alfege dying had power even over those who caused it. Alfege did not treat his life as the most important thing. The people in his care were. And somewhere in the gap between those two convictions, he found what the kingdom asks of all of us. In the cold of April, the ice does not remember the names of those who crossed it. He stayed when the gates gave way. Bonds, ox heads, the grey river. A name struck into stone. Here, once, someone chose. His feast is kept on the 19th of April. He is remembered as bishop and martyr. May the example of his staying, his refusal of the easy exit, find its way into the ordinary choices of our ordinary days.